This is the fourth week of Advent, and it is the week that we celebrate love, and thanks for the love you have shown to me. I appreciate that. It is a time where we are getting closer to Christmas, and I wonder, are your trees up already? Right? Lights are on? Right? Good. All the decorations in the house? I know that my wife has done everything inside. I'm the one in charge of doing everything outside, and guess how much has been done?
Nothing.
Nothing. You got it. Now, Christmas Day will be Sunday this year.
Huh?
All right. I look forward to seeing you because we'll be here again. All right. And it's incredible how many churches are not going to have a service that Sunday. And I understand why they would do that. But in my opinion, a Sunday is a Sunday is a Sunday. Right?
Amen.
And we will be here also on New Year's Day. Imagine that. So you're welcome to start the year with us and to celebrate Christmas. We will also have a Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock on Saturday night. And we just celebrate together. Now the reading today is on Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus. And the way that Matthew describes this event is very significant. He starts the chapter with an account of the ancestry of Jesus, the genealogy, right? Anybody have been in ancestry.com and put in their parents' name and all these folks? No? Nobody? Okay. Some of you have done that work. I've always been curious about the people that came before the ones that I know. Right? I know my grandparents, but I've only heard about their parents. The stories that come around there. And I can only imagine what goes beyond, right? I know where the Rodriguez name came from. You know, it comes from Spain. I know that much. But there's that curiosity of, okay, who was before and how did they get to this little island in the middle of the Caribbean? And there's this sense of understanding, you know, where we come from. And here we have Matthew laying out for us and for those who were reading at the time, where does he come from? Where does this Jesus come from? And I think this is significant again because there's something about this genealogy that is important. It's not only the genealogies of a person, it's Jesus, the Messiah. And in verse 17, it says that there are 14 generations between Abraham and King David. And then there's 14 generations from King David to the Messiah. 7 times 2? 14. So, this is alluding to that perfect time. Right? 7? Perfect number? Got it? Right? Jewish people like that thing about numbers. So 7 times 2 is 14. So this, the perfect timing. Perfection is not coincidence. Perfect love does not appear from other than God. So there is a message to us, even in those names that we don't read much about, right? Have you ever heard that list of names heard and read in a church, just like a part of worship? It's not usual. But in this case, Matthew is laying out the picture for us. Perfect time. And this perfection leads to a figure that we don't know too much about. But he becomes sort of the central figure and the central character to Matthew's account, and that is Joseph. Joseph is the central character in this story, not only because of the genealogy or because he is direct descendant from King David, but also because he is fulfilling part of the prophecy. You remember Jesse's stump? We talked about it a couple of weeks. Do you remember that? Jesse's stump? I was in Isaiah 11, just in case you were not there. So here he is. Here he is. He's represented in Joseph, direct descendant from Abraham, from David, all the way to his son to be. So we have a bunch of references in Matthew that are, you know, harking back to the book of the prophet Isaiah. And why would he use all these references? You know, as far as Matthew is concerned, this is a way to recognize something about their history. It's recognizing that God has been present and that God has been laying this plan out. It's recognizing that God's activity is part of the event. Are you with me? That God has been putting all the pieces together. Right? And now, in the perfect time, we have Jesus. So Matthew is, again, concerned that this is the way to recognize God's activity in the world. Now think about it. He says, all this took place to fulfill, right? You know that word. It comes in there. To fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And we hear Matthew stating that several times through his gospel. In other words, Matthew is saying that it's all God's doing. It's all God's work. It's God who's been putting this together for us. Now, maybe you've had an instance in your life when something happened, some event, some encounter that has made you think about Scripture, that has made you think about a verse, that has made you think of something that you had heard or learned in Bible study before. I don't know. Anybody? And when that happens, I don't know about you, but it's like something new is being revealed to us. There is a connection that happens in our minds between what we have learned and reality that we're seeing at the moment. So imagine people who are going through this event of Jesus' birth and trying to make sense of it in their minds, and all of a sudden a word of the Lord comes to their mind. Wait a minute. It's said in Isaiah, right? So there must be a connection here. There must be something to what the prophet has been laying out for us that we have not discovered yet. It's like it's hidden. And all of a sudden, now it's coming to light. That's what Matthew is probably experiencing when he's even retelling this story. Hey, there was something about this scenario. There's something about this man. There is something about what happened that just caught my attention. And I want to share this with you. And there's another facet of the text that we need to be concerned about. And it is the way that Joseph handles the discovery. Right? It's not laid out for us there, but it says he found out. You know what I'm talking about, right? He finds out. Now, I am not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. You know that. But I know that sometimes women become pregnant. They don't show.
That's true.
Right? They don't show until sometimes the third month. Am I correct? And even more. Right?
Yes.
So imagine there's a process that is already underway and is discovered. Now you may know that for them to be found with child when you have not been married is an affront, right? And there is a consequence for that. There was something that was hidden but comes to light. And this is the thing about Joseph being the central character here. Joseph has the character, the personality, the understanding as a person that is really important for us, because it says in the scripture that he is righteous, right? He's a guy that is a straight shooter. He is a person that is supposed to do the right thing, but when it comes to this scenario, he's taken aback. He is challenged in what the culture, the society, and even the word says. Hello? He is put in the spot. And here is Joseph going through all this thinking, I love this girl. That's why I'm going to marry her. I don't want anything wrong happening to her. But wait a minute. What has happened here? It says in scripture that Joseph is ready to protect Mary. Even as he plans to abandon her, right? You notice that. He says, well, I'm not going to tell on her, but I'll just walk away. Like if that's going to make a difference. Right?
Yeah.
I think that he's looking and seeking for alternatives. That's not going to solve the problem. But his plan is derailed, right? His plan is derailed because an angel speaks to him in a dream. Okay, anybody has dreams around here? Anybody? All right. I know that dreams sometimes are, for some people, happen every night. I know that dreams only happen once a year to some, if they remember, right? But there's two things about dreams that I know. First is that dreams are mysterious, right? That is just the nature of what they are. They are mysterious. Sometimes you cannot connect the dots. Sometimes it's like, what in the world was that, right? Sometimes they don't make sense. But this is the second thing I know about dreams. Is that there are many instances in Scripture where dreams are used for God's purposes, right?
That's right. Yes, amen.
They are used as mediums of revelation to us. So in this case, the angel speaks so that Joseph sees what is happening in part of a plan. A plan that is hidden to him. He cannot see through this reality that he's facing that God is behind it. That God has laid out all these things to happen, and he needs to be aware of that. They're hidden to him, but now they are being revealed as part of a plan from the Most High. Do not be afraid. Fear, right? Fear is an emotion that we all can identify with. So Joseph is thinking of all these things and he is freaked out. Okay? That's the translation for the modern days. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but if some angel came and told me that, I would say, the Holy what? You bring me that holy somewhere, whatever, and I'll enjoy it, right? Why do you mean the Holy Spirit's done this? You know, of course, that's the Puerto Rican, you know, hot-blooded in me. It's an affront. It's something that we are not ready to deal with. And in Joseph's case, I mean, he's fearful because he knows that there's consequences to these things. I would be. Good thing it wasn't me, right? So if we follow this theme of perfection that Matthew is working on with us, those who read the text, we see that this is part of a perfect plan. A miraculous event in the life of a righteous man that turned his world around in order to bring in the life of the righteous king so that we can have him. And his name, that's the third thing in the text, right? That is being presented to us. And his name goes back even 800 years from the time when Jesus is born. There is one boy that we are told about in Isaiah that's going to be called Emmanuel. So there's already an Emmanuel somewhere in the past. But that boy is not the one that transforms the world. You know, the one back there. The one that Isaiah was referring to in the immediate history. That one was a symbol of God's perfect plan. The one that was born at that time was going to be the one that was going to open the door for Israel to be freed, to be sent back, to go back from the exile. But Matthew harks back to that name. Because that name means what? God with us. So for Israel, in their mindset, when they hear Emmanuel, they hear God has been with us. He set us free. He sent us back from exile. He saved us. All right, you with me?
Amen.
God with us. But this boy, the one that we're talking about now, is not only Emmanuel. Right? In the text, we don't only hear that name, Emmanuel. There's another name. He's going to be called? Jesus. You see, Emmanuel is only the symbol of God's faithfulness. Emmanuel is, hey, God has been with us. And God is still with us. But this one's name is going to be called Jesus. So check this out. When we follow the story in Matthew's gospel, as he tells it, we will see that there is perfection as a theme, right? And there is this hidden theme here. And it goes throughout. For Matthew, above all, Jesus is God with us. And it's not only for that season. You see, there's a contrast between Emmanuel 800 years ago and this Jesus. I'll tell you why. If you look at chapter 28 of the Gospel of Matthew, the last verse, verse 20, there's a statement there. It says, and remember. We know about remembering, right? Yep. That's what it says. And remember, I am with you always. I am with you always to the end of the age. So are you following me with this? You see, Emmanuel is God with us, but Jesus is with us always until the end of the age. So this is not Emmanuel for a brief period of history. This is not that presence that we saw back then, when we had that experience and that has been communicated to us in the history files. It is Jesus. It is Jesus, God, that is still with us. And God that will be with us forever until the end of the age.
Amen.
And we will see that. That's why I'm talking about this perfect theme, right? It is perfect. It is perfect. It's perfect hidden love that has come to light. You see?
Yep.
That's why we do this, right? Because it's perfection manifest to us.
Yes.
And He is still alive. He is still here. And that's why we celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
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 Because we celebrate the perfect deliverance that He has for His people. He is the one. He is the one. The one that we have been waiting for. The one that came. The one that did His thing for us. And the one that we're still waiting for. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. You have been with us throughout time. But you came at the perfect time to show us the way. And Jesus is the one that has given us life and that is going to give us life throughout all of eternity. We give you glory, O Lord. We give you thanks for all that you have done to us. But let this time not be just another season of joy and hope and peace where these themes are just thrown about and these words are just thrown about. Let this be a time where we can see you as the one that really impersonates the love of God for us. And let us be tools to communicate that to this world. That through everything that we do, be it the lights, decorations, not only be a thing for us to feel good, but to recognize the revelation that has been given to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.